I mentioned last week that at this time of the year, the church's liturgy, the readings, help focus us on what we call the end things or the end times. And once again, we have that happening today as the second last weekend of the church's year. And it's a little bit different, I know, hearing the first reading from the closing chapter of Proverbs, where we have the definition. It's actually a definition, really, of wisdom, and it's placed in the image of the perfect wife. Now, the Proverbs are a collection of sayings that were put together primarily from sages and from rabbis. And they were all men who wrote them. And then they put it together, and the very last part of the book of Proverbs is what you've heard today. And interestingly, I think, as we look at it, because it's very focused on the feminine, but when we look at it, it draws out the qualities through the example of a wife. But the qualities apply to each and every one of us. So don't get too caught up with things like, oh, she keeps her hands busy at the spindle and all of that business. That's what makes her perfect. And you can translate that whichever way you like into modern domestic chores. But the thing behind each of those elements was what we praise in wisdom in not just women, not just wives, but in all people, is particularly the creativity, the wisdom that exists, the goodness, the strength, the joy, the sense of justice that is there, the generosity and the faith. And so the author puts all of those things onto and into what he's calling a perfect wife. But we would say that those values are, that's what we aspire to, whether we're a woman or a man, whether we're a husband or wife, or whether we're single. Those values truly are things that we aspire to, and they come through the image of a devoted wife in this case. So it's very focused on the feminine, but I am saying to you that it applies to all of us. Fast forward now to the gospel. Oh, before I do that, I might just mention, if you count the verses in the last of what you've just read today, they're not all listed there, but the last section of the book of Proverbs, which I'm saying is titled Under the Perfect Wife or The Search for the Perfect Wife, there are 22 verses. In the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. And that would say to us that not one letter that builds up one word that leads us to God or comes through the inspiration of God, not one is wasted, not one drops to the ground and is trodden on and walked away. Every letter, every word that comes from the inspiration of God draws us into a higher relationship with him and hopefully with each other. Every word is important. So now we can fast forward to the gospel. And many of you will know the longer version of this gospel, where there are actually the three servants who received their respective talents, three, two, and then one. But today we're only hearing the outcome of the one who received the three talents. Now, a talent in Jesus' time was a lot of money, an enormous amount of money. And it is from there that we get the word today about people who are talented. So, and that definition comes through the second part of the phrase in each portion of that gospel, where it says that each servant was given the number of talents according to their ability. So I would not like to look at this gospel as we're examining our year, and because it's about the end times, I wouldn't like to look at this gospel in terms of managing wealth and how we handle wealth. That's not what it's about. It's like the first gospel, the first reading is not a reading that you would use at the opening of the International Women's Liberation Conference, for example. You wouldn't do that. So let's not do that with the idea of talents and money. It is about the master being God, the servant being us. And we have been given in our life talents or gifts that are proportionate to our abilities. So as we reflect on our life at this particular time, coming towards the end of the year, starting a new church year in 2 weeks with Advent, as we reflect back, we use these readings, particularly the Gospel, to say, what are my talents? What are my abilities? And what do I do with them? That's what we can start with today. And then gradually we should be able to move to saying, what have I done with the gifts that were given to me, the talents that were given to me in my life, as I reflect on the totality of my life? Because those talents, those gifts, as this gospel says, they are not yours to keep or mine to keep, whatever they might be. They are loaned to you. The servants bought back to the master what he had given them and more. That's what they did. And that's where we must exercise in our life appropriately and to the best of our ability, bringing back to the master, bringing back to God the gifts, the talents that he has given us. If we have not done that, we will never hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. They will not enter our ears because we weren't good and faithful with the gifts that were given us. It's challenging because in order to exercise what we think is an ability or a good talent in us, it takes a certain amount of humility as well. It takes awareness. Some of us have gifts that we have not yet discovered. Even as we get older and greyer, many of us say, I'm still learning. And if it's things about talents, about gifts, I discover abilities in myself that I never knew I had. It might be, for example, that if a person has the gift of being able to sing well, that is no gift unless it's given back. I know these are challenging times for singing, but how that a person who can sing well can inspire others to sing so that those of us who cannot sing well, we can still be part of the song, because when we bring all of our voices together, we sing beautifully. And no one picks out my old skanky voice. They hear the music that we create together, and we let those with the gifts lead us in that. And it doesn't matter what aspect of life, I'm not talking just about singing or music. Some of us are born with a natural ability that is almost superhuman. And I would think of, if I'm going to carry the music theme a little further, I would think of somebody like Mozart, for example, who wrote extraordinary music before he reached 10 years of age. And then it's what he did with that. So for us to examine our life at this time, this is the time when we examine, how have I used the gifts? Do I recognise them? Have I ever taken a risk in my life to do better with the good things that I have and with who I am? Have I ever taken that risk to go a little bit further, to inspire others? And that's part of where the first reading comes in and gives us that creativity. It gives us that wisdom, I say again, the goodness, the strength, the joy, the awareness of the sense of justice, the generosity, and faith. They are the things, the values, that allow us to be aware of our gifts and more aware of how we can use them wisely. To have such gifts, to have such talents and not use them, that is where the man who received the one talent, that's where he came undone when we read the longer version of the gospel, because he buried it in the ground so that he could give it back to the master. But he didn't give back any more. He did nothing with it. Whereas this man, this servant, he did something with it. To have a gift and do nothing with it is really to turn our back on the generosity of God. As we examine our individual lives at this time, coming to the closing of the year, let's just hope and let's just pray that we have been generous in trying to give back to God with whatever our gifts, whatever our talents are. We do want to hear those words, each and every one of us, as we draw our last breath. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's happiness.